Hey, Dan.
Yes.
So, Dan. You know how when you were young, they sent your sweet little dog, Fluffikins, off to a farm?
Yes.
And you never saw him again?
Yes, I remember that very well, actually.
Well, that's an actual place that exists, and we're going to send you to that.
We're going to the big farm?
That's right. So, I want you to put on this Labradoodle costume.
Okay.
Here it is. And I want you to investigate what happened to your little doggy and find out if the living conditions there are good or not.
Okay. So you're gonna have to I can do that. Do I need to... What do I need to do?
Well, first, as a test, you're going to have to sniff my asshole just to see if you can act like a dog or not.
Here we go. Ready?
That's right. I turned into a sex thing. Welcome, everyone, to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared. That's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Jared. You smell wonderful, by the way.
Oh, jeez. You stop it. What do we do on this show, Dan? I'm so confused.
We like to review independent films. That's films that are independently made.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All quite. The films who independent make a
anyway,
movie
we,
and let
we,
me watch
we sit
it.
We sit here and we talk back and forth and we review them and we give our critical thoughts on them as well as, you know, pointers as to what makes the film good? Why you might want to check it out?
That's right. We say, I don't like this. And then we say,
I do like this.
All the while periodically talking about butt sniffing. That's basically the show.
I mean, wrapped it up nice in a nutshell right there. It's not always butt sniffing though, but it's mostly butt sniffing.
Today it's butt sniffing. Once I latch onto one juvenile thing, I'll never let it go for the rest
then,
of the podcast.
We do it. I don't mean to toot our own horn, but we bring it back often enough to where it just about gets tiring, but it doesn't. It's like we know we push the envelope just far enough to where you don't get pissed off at us. Thank you.
Butt horn. Anyways, Dan, what movie did we watch? And why don't you tell us a little bit about what the film is?
Sure. We watched a film called The Mole Agent, and this is okay. I'm already having problems.
I know.
Already
I know.
Having problems. This claims to be a documentary about an old man who infiltrates a nursing home because somebody, a private eye, hires him to go into this nursing home because this woman hires the private eye because she thinks that her mother is being abused in this home. So
yes.
this private eye hires this 83-year-old man to go undercover and just report back to him, and that's basically what this film is about.
Mm-hmm.
But
and it's done by director Mattei Alberti.
It's pitched and labeled as a documentary.
Yes.
But I don't think it's a documentary. Like, just because you show the camera being made or the camera in the film and like there's documentary steps to it, you once we get into the analysis, I'll tell you exactly why I don't think this is a documentary.
Well, during questions, which this is the segment that we're on right now, questions.
Oh, okay.
Dan,
yes.
I was going to ask you how much of this do you think is real and how much do you think of this is...
It's hard to ascertain because, like, my initial thought was, okay, so my first note is, so is this a documentary or is this a deconstructed narrative? Because what happens in this is you have this mole agent going to a nursing home with spy equipment. So he has spy cameras.
Mm-hmm.
But the camera crew follows him. So why is the nursery home okay with this camera crew making the documentary if they're trying to expose the nursing home?
They did explain that, so...
I didn't get that.
Their thing was that they have been filming at the nursing home already, and the cover was they were filming a documentary about the daily life of people at a nursing home, but, like, that's kind of what this movie became. So then
That makes a lot more sense, and...
Yeah.
I can appreciate it more now. I miss that. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, so basically this documentary plays out exactly like a narrative, except the espionage is being performed by a elderly person.
Yeah. And he kind of like slowly starts to lose interest. Like the movie slowly becomes something else entirely. It starts off as like a spy thriller and becomes a big critique on these homes that elderly people get put into and people and just like looking for connection and how much it sucks to get old and die. And this movie, if you want to be real sad, this movie can make you real sad.
Yeah, it really does. Like, because it's a character study, and you get to his name is Sergio, the guy that goes into the nursing home, and you get to
Sergio's
know him.
The best, by the way,
you get to know him, and he's like just a charming old man, and you start to feel sorry for him, even in the fact that you know he took on this job just to get his wife out of his mind because his wife just died. And you know, the documentary tells us a very sad story for sure.
Yeah. He acts like, you know, this is like a super exciting thing and it's making him feel alive to be like this, this mole, you know, in this nursing home. And it starts off that way, and then it becomes like, oh no, I've really made good friends here, and I've actually enjoyed myself, but I have to leave because I have a family that cares about me. And he's one of the only people that gets visited. Like, at least how the documentary portrays it, is not many people get visited in this home, and they're all trying to leave, but they're kind of stuck there. So it says that the documentary takes place somewhere in America, but this one lady says,
Chile.
Like, twice... Was it Chile? Okay.
Or it was in some South American city.
That's what I... Okay, good. That makes more sense that it was in Chile because there's some custom there where they abandon women that have not married at 50 and they send them to nursing homes because that lady said she's been there for 25 years. And I'm like, what? So there's some weird, like... If you were not married and providing for a family or whatever, taking care of a family, you're useless.
Speaking of that lady,
and they put
Jared,
you in a fucking house.
Speaking of that lady.
Yeah.
That brings me to my next question.
Sure.
Would you consider giving God your virginity?
In exchange for what? That's the question.
He's God.
Would I get to spend an afternoon with Sergio? Then yes. Yeah, that quote was weird. Can you give us the context for that?
What is the context for that? Because like, I thought it was just a random quote. Like, she's just like, I would actually give. So basically, she's just kind of feeling sorry for herself because she hasn't, you know, she's been saving herself for the right person. She never found the right person, and she's just talking to all her women folk, and the women. Folk
I think
are
she
like,
wants to bone Sergio, and is like, you know,
oh yeah, that's
I'd
right.
Give anything for it.
That's right. She does want to bone Sergio.
Hot to trot. Dude, okay. In this nursing home, there are like 90% women and
four men.
Yeah, there's only four men out of like 80 women. So they literally make him the god of the nurse, the king of the nursing home, I should say, not the god.
Well, I mean,
there's a big ceremony where he's the king and all the ladies fawn over him. It's so funny. I think, to combat what you were saying, I think a lot of this is real.
You do.
Yes. See, I think the private investigator he's not an actor. I think he's a real private investigator. I think they actually initially started off with the premise of what they were like, we're going to investigate this place, blah, blah, blah. And they were trying to like look to find corruption in this nursing home. But instead they found like a super heartwarming story about these people who are like abandoned. And the whole narrative changed from there. And because I was reading an article about the filmmaker, and the filmmaker's like, I just keep filming things until I get the shots like that I think will be interesting for the film.
Right.
So it's like, they'll just keep filming, and then whatever we get, we get.
That makes a lot more sense, and it makes me kind of take a step, because I was really combative.
Yeah.
Whatever that was. I was ready to not like this film and bitch at it for the entire podcast.
Really?
Because I was so fucking confused. I'm like, why is the camera there in the first place?
So it's intentional. The the genre blending is intentional by the creator.
Right, but...
it's made for you to be like, I don't know if this is real or not. So that's why it's like, it's totally valid for you to think it's not real, and it's the same for me.
Jared.
Yes.
I like my documentaries traditional. I don't want your narrative peanut butter in my documentary chocolate.
I was about to make that joke. But they taste so good together, Danny.
Sometimes they do, but to me, this one didn't work. Like I said, I missed that one part that said that they were already making a documentary about the nursing home, which makes a lot more sense now. But still, I don't know. Maybe it was the way the synopsis was pitched to me as well. It's like this guy's going undercover to discover what's going on at this. And then it ended up not being what the synopsis said. I'm like, what did I just watch? I don't know.
Like, I like being tricked, though. Usually I don't like getting tricked. This time I think it was great. Dan, why do people in Chile not know who 007
Chile,
is?
I don't know if it was Chile. I just...
Well, it
I
says storyline in IMDb, so oh. I think that probably is correct. Because they show Scarface, the Scarface guy, in such a way that it's indicating that he's like a secret agent. And I'm like, he's not? Mm-hmm. Why? He has nothing to do with the spy genre. I don't understand.
I thought that Sergio was so... burst through the door in that party. Say hello to my little friend.
Yeah. He's just like mowing people down. He's got white nose. You know, he's fucking powdered his nose a little too much. Okay, Dan, one more question for you.
Yes, please.
Do you think anyone was an actor in this movie? And what did you think of the performances of all these characters?
Well, whenever you are... Well, in my past experience doing, you know, screeners for film festivals, we looked at documentary in a different way. And instead of being an actor, in quotes, you would have on-camera presence. So I feel like everybody's on-camera presence in this documentary was pretty much really aces. On point.
So good.
Sergio was great. All of the ladies that were around him were great. Like, you know, the orderlies that you did get to see, like, it felt real.
It felt too real. It felt so real. Okay, so this is the section where we talk about the film. We're going to spoil it. I highly recommend everyone going to see The Mole Agent. It is very good. It came out this year. I believe it is on Hulu. So, Dan, why don't you tell us about a scene that spoke to you?
One of my favorite parts of this documentary... It was like I knew it was going to happen, and whenever it happened, it just made me smile. But Sergio, the private eye is named Romulo, and Romulo
sounds like an alien name.
Yeah, I know, right?
Romulo, report back to Goblox.
He's showing Sergio like all these fancy gadgets, and he has an iPhone and these spy glasses and a spy pen, and I'm like, this guy is 83 years old. He's not going to know anything about how to operate anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, as soon as he gets in there, he's like, how do I work this? And then he figures it out. But what one of the funniest parts of the film is to me is the first report he reports back to Romulo. Like, basically his whole mission is to go in and report to Romulo on a daily basis. And the very first report he does has nothing to do with his mission. He's just like, I had a great day today. Here's what happened. And Romulo's like, ugh.
It's so funny. There's so many times where he is not doing his job and just hanging out and having fun. And his boss is like, what are you doing? You're actually there for a reason. I hope they paid this guy to, like, be undercover.
Well, I mean, he answered a personal ad, so I would assume it was like a Craigslist type, you know, a gig, if you would.
Yeah. So I liked a lot of those scenes, because there is comedy in this, but I feel like it gets way sadder than it does, like, with the comedy.
Yeah.
The parts where he is investigating who the thief is... So there's this woman that he becomes friends with that is a kleptomaniac.
Mm-hmm.
And
Martha, I think her name is.
Yes. Martha?
Yeah.
Okay. And Martha is like going around stealing from other people's rooms and be like, this is mine, this is mine. But the camera guy is so close to them watching them. And then Sergio is like right behind her. He's like, I'm going to tail her today and find out what's going on. He's literally standing right behind her, just following her around. Like, how does she not know she's being followed?
She's like the saddest one, too. Like, she has kleptomania, but like, she's so delusional and has been there forever and wants to get out because they won't let them out. Like, they won't let them, they'll let them on the grounds, but they won't let them out to go, like, shopping or anything. And she is crazy because of it. Like, she's stir crazy. And the only way they can calm her down is to put her, quote, mom on the phone so she can talk to her. This woman is, like, 79 years old, and her mom is not alive.
Yeah. So that means orderlies are pretending to be her mom because no one will visit her, and they feel so sad for her that they pretend for her benefit. But
it's eye-opening. It's upsetting.
It makes it worse for her because she's like, well, you're calling me, but why don't you come and visit me? Why don't you come and get me out of here? And then the person on the phone has to be like, well, I can't because of reasons.
That was the only that was the only ethical boundary that was overstepped, I think, in this film. Like, that kind of made me like feel shitty.
Well, I mean, they're trying to do a good thing.
Yeah, but
because if they don't, she's going to sit at the gate all day and scream and yell at people to let her out. And like, it was probably just too much for them. Like, we have to do something. A lot of stuff like that. It's pretty intense. I mean, they actually cover someone dying in the film. One of the residents actually passes away during the 3 months that they're there. And then they do a whole funeral for her. And then the whole time you're thinking, like, is this real? Is this not real? I don't know. And then at the end of the film, they have a in loving memory of, and they list off some people. So I'm like, oh no, did all these people die during the filming of this movie? Like, holy shit. Is Sergio even alive? I don't know.
Sergio!
Getting old. Just thinking about getting old.
I know.
Is a nightmare.
I've been starting to have those thoughts. Like, my whole life is changing. For the last two weeks, like, days have been going by really quickly. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like rocketing into my future. It's horrifying.
It's terrible. And it's just, you can't help but think, like, when someone else dies, you usually always think about your own death and how
mortality. I've been thinking about my cat's dying recently, and that makes me very sad.
Oh no, Dan.
I can't, like, it pops in my head, and I'm like, they're not going to be around forever. I'm like, fuck, now that's all I can think about.
All you have to think about, too, is, like, just think of all the good times that you've had. It's interesting because, like, love and friendships and all this other stuff, everything ends in tragedy. Like, everything's going to end bad eventually. But in order to have all that sadness, you have to, you know, you get all the good stuff up front.
See, it's great. It's great. It's great that we have these films like The Mole Agent to remind us of our own mortality. Thanks.
That's right.
Thanks, Mole.
And that we should care about, you know, our elderly. Honestly. Like, call your dad. What are you doing? I'm talking to you, audience. Call your mom. You haven't talked to her in a while, I know. Why don't you call your family? Your family.
One of my favorite scenes in the film is, it's just a wonderful image. It's not even a scene. It's just like a passing B-roll. But they're filming all the old ladies out, like, they're just sitting on a bench talking to each other, and one of the old ladies is like looking at the camera equipment, and the boom mic comes into frame, and she points at it, and I'm like, there's a grandma pointing at a boom mic. I love it.
Yeah, it's them getting used to the cameras, and eventually they just start ignoring them altogether. They don't even care that they're there. The really interesting thing to me, too, that they kind of get at towards the end is Sergio is like sending his daily messages, and then he starts to send messages saying, why are we even doing this? He's like, I don't understand why I have to be here undercover finding out what's going on with this woman to make sure if she's getting abused or not, when the daughter of this woman should be doing that herself. The person that hired them in the first place. He's like, she should just come visit her because She never visits her. And then you find out what the real point of this movie is that these people are sent to these nursing homes and they are completely abandoned. And they are never heard or seen from again.
Well,
and they are human beings and people too. You should come visit them. Like, if they really need to go to a place like this, they still should have some autonomy or, like, respect. And it's just kind of crazy.
What's even more sad is you find out, like, for like, a good 20 minutes of the movie, Sergio is trying to find this woman. And it gets to a point where, Sergio is like, is this person even here? Like, I don't even know where she is. And he finally finds her. And this woman is, like, I don't want to say it, but, like, on death's door. Like, she is super old, super senile. Mm-hmm. And, like, how did this woman who's hiring the detective, like, even get this information?
Yeah.
If she, like, doesn't even, like, this woman needs somebody to be there caring for her instead of just the orderlies. Like, she needs the family, you know, because that's what's going to keep her
to
sane.
At least come
that's
visit
what's keep
every
her
once
grounded.
In a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it, like, think about that one lady who has Alzheimer's, who can't remember certain things, and Sergio keeps going.
That was
and having
sad
conversations
scene.
With her, and she's like, "I don't remember if we had a conversation, but you seem like a really nice person."
And then there was this one, like that same lady. She's like, "I'm feeling really dizzy. I don't know what to do." And like, there's this scene where Sergio has to like help her out because she has like she's about to faint and like she's scared, and it's like, what the fuck?
And he's like, hey, if you want to cry, it's fine. Like, because she's so confused. She's like, I don't know where I am. And he explained to her what's going on. And it's super sad. And you're like, part of your mind is like, I wish these were actors. I don't think it is. And I was like, man, this is way too intense. So, like, I was watching this kind of late at night. It was me and my girlfriend watching this. And usually, like, we're watching a film like that, she's going to fall asleep because it's late. We both stayed up and watched the entire thing. Like, we were, like, on the edge of our seats watching this movie. And this isn't, like, a real, like, action gripping, oh, I gotta see every scene. Like, this is a slow film. This is, like, a very deliberate documentary of people, real life in a nursing home. So you're like, how is that interesting? But it's the characters and their journey going through it, and then the whole weird spy element that they add to it, it just becomes so engaging. Even the camera work, I think, is pretty good in this movie.
There's no complaints in just the way the film is constructed.
Yeah. So, like, I guess my final thoughts would be this movie is, like, a powerhouse. It's so smart. I love the genre blending. I love everything about it is so clever to me. And well, apparently, this director has done similar films about other interesting topics, like people with Down syndrome and how they feel like they've been infantilized by everyone else, and how they want more autonomy and everything. Yeah. So it's like he keeps covering ideas like this about people who are just forgotten, pushed away from society. And
marginalized.
Thank you. That is the correct word. But go ahead, Dan. I think I cut you off earlier. I'll let you get your thought.
Well, like, I'm glad that we talked about it, and I'm glad you clarified a few things for me, because I was, like I said, I was ready to be angry at this movie, but now that I'm realizing retrospectively what this film is about, like, you're right, it's a very strong documentary. And it you know, documentaries need to have narrative conventions in order to tell the story, in order to keep you engaged. So now that I understand that the camera's already there in the first place, and they did explain that, and
yes.
I just was an idiot.
well, this is in a different language, too, so you're kind of like trying to read the subtitles and pay attention in that way. So I get how like certain information can like slip by, because you're trying to like look at the characters and everything else. And we all know you have a second grade reading level, Dan, so it's tough for you to...
Third grade, thank you.
Oh, you're moving on up, moving on up. you got any recommendations you want to talk about before we close out?
I have one, but I'll save it for next week because I feel like it would be... It's just not appropriate for this film. For how sad and serious and somber this film is.
Well, mine's certainly not appropriate. It's called Pooka.
Oh.
It is a Christmas horror movie about a man who gets hired to wear a, like, cartoon mascot costume and sell kids' toys. But it gets incredibly dark, and it is it's amazing. The acting is really good, even though the main character, I think he's from, like, England or a different country, and he's trying to play an American, and sometimes his accent slips, but I still think he does a great job. Other than that, the visual effects...
Me? The guy from Avatar is Australian. And
yeah,
you can, like, he slips a lot.
Does he?
It's ridiculous.
Some of the visuals and the camera work and everything in this movie is so good. The story is fantastic. I started watching this film and I kept turning to my girlfriend and being like, "This movie's amazing. I can't wait to tell Dan." We were only like 10 minutes in. I was like, I just kept saying, "I already am in love with this film. It's so good." It's probably one of the better films I've seen this year.
I'll be watching it soon, then. I'll definitely watch it over
in terms of a horror.
My Christmas break.
It's a pretty fun movie because it makes you laugh, and then you at you just were laughing a lot, and then suddenly you're like, oh no, this is horrifying. I'm so scared. This is freaky. So, anyways, yeah, Pooka. It's called. I believe it is also on Hulu. POOKA. Yeah. It's a weird name. It's a weird name, but you'll see why. So yeah, check it out. Right. Okay. Let's close out the show, Dan.
Let's give some plugs. You may find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You may find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We know that you hear that because we keep getting tons of submissions.
Yeah,
keep
we
them
do.
Coming.
Yeah, we appreciate
Jared,
it. We really do.
Where's that Necropodicon?
Necropodicon! Okay, so necropodicon.com is the hosting site for us. We are part of the Necropodicon Network. There are a lot of really cool shows on there. So if you like our show...
I actually started listening to... it's been a long time coming, but Waffles and Mario Talk About Things.
Oh, my God.
Fuck, man.
Waffles and Mario
so
Talk
good.
About Things. It's so, so good. Again, it makes me angry how good it is, and I want to sabotage them because they're too funny. They'll just start doing improv. I don't know how they start the improv, but it's so organic, and they just go to fucking weird places. And it's always
they
really
understand
silly and fun.
Improv too. Like
it's, yeah, it's, yeah, they get the game and everything else. Like way awesome. Way better than we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, that show's really good, and then they have a ton of other different types of shows on there, so it's like a whole variety. So I mean, maybe you like movie reviews, and there's shows like that, but there's a bunch of other types of shows like D&D and other things. So yeah, necropodicon.com. There's also a link to the Discord there. You click on it, you can come say hello to us, talk to us, and we're always farting around on there. It's a good time. Okay, thank you guys for listening. I really appreciate it. Dan, you have the final word.
Whenever I'm old, I'll still be doing the podcast from the nursing home. I don't know.
Dan, you can take that dog costume off anytime you want. Like, I don't know why you've been wearing it this entire time.
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D, and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Isen is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Isen because it's good, and you deserve good things. Fate of Isen. A proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.